The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on this Tuesday morning. Look who is here. Big Swaggo. Marcus Spears in the building. Stephen A. is off today.
What up?
Max Kellerman.
Morning.
Yeah, what's up?
Know what I noticed?
What?
Stephen A. is not here, so Swaggo shows up. Mm-hmm. No coat, no tie. Like I'm a substitute teacher over here. Okay, I got you. I got you, Marcus. Like the sub is in.
I woke up early this morning. Thought it was a nice shirt, didn't want to kill it with the jacket, Max. I have the utmost respect for you, Max. I should have put a jacket on. You're right. I apologize.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
All right. Fellas, let's get into it, because obviously we know one thing the Cowboys are good at. You're a former Cowboy, Marcus. You know this. Is marketing. But there was one glaring omission from that hype video. What's the deal? Where was your quarterback? No Dak Prescott sighting. Do you have a problem with that video Dallas just put out?
Absolutely. Molly, read the room. Yeah. Social team for the Dallas Cowboys. Understand what's been transpiring over the past 3 years. I was 34 when we started talking about Dak Prescott needing a new damn contract. Okay? So, no, this is not a situation where you have an oversight or you send out an apology. That's like me putting a promo, a First Take out, and putting three different people other than you, Stephen A., and Max in there, Molly, and then saying, oh, it was our apologies. We just wanted to put the guests that come on First Take in the promo video. Like, what are we talking about? We are talking about the number one marketed team in the NFL. We are talking about people. I know people in that building that literally get paid to make sure the Dallas Cowboys are at the forefront and make sure all of the messaging is on par. And you telling me that you put out a hype video after a season where Dak Prescott tore his ankle up trying to make plays and he's not in it? And now we got to go through another cycle of a contract situation. So look, it's a bad look. It may be a simple, honest mistake, but that simple, honest mistake, they had to know is going to send waves after they sent it out. So yeah, it's a mess, man. You're not going to promo anything without the star of it being in the video. And then they put Troy Aikman in it. What? I ain't tripping. Max, tell me if I'm tripping.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. Let me tell you why. I think, pointedly, I see what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, but here's my conclusion. Remember what Adam Schefter said about the over-under for quarterbacks switching teams this offseason? He said the over-under is 18, and he'll take 18. The over. There's going to be a lot of new faces in a lot of new places. And to me, this hype video tells me Dallas is thinking, this cat may not be our quarterback this upcoming season. Let's be honest about this. Dallas blew it when I think they could have had him at a steep discount when he was still on that rookie deal, and because he was a fourth rounder, he was so underpaid, and clearly he was playing much better than a fourth round draft pick or even just an average starting quarterback. Given his leadership qualities, the numbers he was putting up, there were better quarterbacks than Dak, but his trajectory said there's a potentially great player here, and he's already a good player. That's the time to lock him up to a middle-class contract by quarterback standards if you want to pay him in the $20 million range, but they tried to milk that $2 million fourth-round salary as long as they could till the 11th hour before they finally made him an offer commensurate with the market. Now, my feeling is Goff and Wentz got bad contracts, and the contract they offered Dak also might not have been great for the Cowboys. And in fact, he got hurt that year. So clearly it wouldn't have been good for the Cowboys, right? But the point is they waited till the last second to offer it to him. Obviously, the relationship soured somewhat. His agent wanted a shorter contract. He never signed it. Dak is not locked up on the Cowboys. And Marcus, if 18 teams are going to switch, that's the over-under, and Schefter's taking the over, I think Dallas is getting ready for a reality where Dak may not be the quarterback.
Max, absolutely. But we also have to remind ourselves of all of the talk that has led up to the point we're at now. Like, everybody was under this assumption that Dak Prescott would get signed and it's going to work out with the Dallas Cowboys. And to your point, like, that may be an example. That may be a conscious omission made of him not being in a hype video. But isn't that the problem, too? Like, the problem is he's been omitted from getting contracts, and everybody else has. You know what else I saw in that hype video? A lot of dudes that got paid during the time where Dak Prescott should have got paid. Like, this is clear messaging now that we're having this conversation. And then the bottom line, too. Y'all know how I am. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. And you've said that this is your franchise guy, and every piece of material you should put out should be glowing about Dak Prescott. And I want to remind everybody, because I got killed for this during the season. When everybody came out kumbaya from the Dallas Cowboys about Dak Prescott after he tore his ankle up. Yeah, that's our guy. And we love him. And we hope Dak is great. Don't even ask me the question, Dak gonna be our quarterback. Well, here we are again having this conversation. And this is a piece of evidence, whether big or small, that you can look at and say was a conscientious decision made, because Dak Prescott not being in a hype video after almost dislocating his ankle off of the bottom of his leg with a team that went through all the things that Dallas went to is a gross mistake by the social team or whoever wanted to make the decision not to have him in the video. Mm-hmm. And for the ones that's going to say, man, don't be right, but if you put the Cowboys doing all of this to keep themselves in the media, I don't give a damn what the Cowboys doing to keep the conversation going about them in the media. This conversation is about Dak Prescott, how he's being perceived, and how his closest people are seeing this situation play out. We're talking about something that obviously has been talked about with Dak Prescott and his brother Tad Prescott noticing things that are coming out with the messaging with the Dallas Cowboys.
But Marcus, if they put him in the hype video and he's not on the team, that's maybe worse. Like, the fact of the matter is, I bring
but
up
Max,
Wentz and Goff, right?
Max,
I thought those contracts were mistakes.
But you put him in the hype video. You put him in the hype video because what you've told us is you want him. You've told us you want
But what teams say and what they do are two different things. And by the way, there's a guy who's on the trading block no matter what the Texans say, named Deshaun Watson. Named Deshaun Watson, like, who knows? My point is this. Goff and Wentz got their deal, same quarterback classes, except they were drafted 1 and 2 and Prescott was in the fourth round. The Goff contract turned out so bad, they had to include multiple first-rounders to get rid of the contract and bring in Stafford. The Wentz contract is awful, and he's being shopped right now. So maybe Dallas is looking and saying, hey, we haven't signed Dak to that deal yet. We don't have that problem yet, but he still has trade value. We can get out of this thing without taking the cap hit that the Eagles are about to take. Let's not put him in this hype video right now because he ain't going to be on the team.
That might be their level of thinking, but that ain't what they told us. That's my point. So, look, man, let this saga play out where we find out the Dallas Cowboys didn't make an effort to make sure to keep Dak on this roster, and they've already planned. Look, you got to stay ahead of the game. I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. Like, they're in a position because they didn't pay the long-term money, and we see what's happening. We saw what happened in Los Angeles, and we see what's happening with Philly right now. But the bottom line is this, Max. When we talking about this hype video, we talking about 3 years of conversation. This is not just about the hype video, all right? The hype video is the latest
slap in, the face.
In what we've been reading about all of the situation with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you're definitely not feeling
real quick,
wanted
Molly,
when you're
you know
left
how,
off of it.
You know how a team is lying about a player they may want to trade? Their lips are moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, facts.
Absolutely.
I'll leave you guys with this. Since 2016, when Dak entered the league, there's only four quarterbacks that have a better QBR than him: Watson, Breeze, Mahomes, and Jackson. And they're all pretty darn good. Got to show the man some respect. Let's move on here, though. One guy who he actually had a better QBR than is this guy, believe it or not. Let's get to the GOAT. In all his seven rings, considering all the storylines, leaving his coach, Foxborough, et cetera, then beats Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes on his way to another championship. Max, do you feel like this was the best playoff run ever by a quarterback when we consider all the circumstances?
It would be if there was no such thing as Eli Manning, but clearly and by far, both of Eli's runs were better than Brady's this year. Clearly and by far. Let's start with the first one in 07-08, right? That run started on the road. And by the way, Eli, both times, had to go on the road the whole way. Not like Tom Brady, who got to host the Super Bowl. Eli was truly on the road the whole time. Game one. Look, he didn't get to face a 7-9 team with Heinicke as the quarterback. It was okay. He faced a 9-7 team with Jeff Garcia as the quarterback, who was a solid NFL quarterback with a real career as a starter behind him. Like, Eli's first round, 9-7, was tougher than Tom Brady's. Next round, you can look at Drew Brees and go, oh, my God, the name on the resume. But, guys, Drew Brees was no longer the great Drew Brees. Let's be honest. The Tony Romo that Eli had to face and beat at Dallas was a better quarterback that year than Brees was this year, who was also coming off of shattered ribs, a punctured lung, the whole thing. That's just a fact. Also, his team won 13 games. And then Eli goes up to Lambeau and beats Brett Favre at Lambeau when Brett Favre was still a great player, and then finishes it off. Yeah, who's the GOAT? Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady, in his best season, clearly and by far, with Randy Moss on the team, they were undefeated. Had they won that game, they were going to be universally accepted as the greatest team in the history of American team sports. Forget about the 27 Yankees. Forget about the 72-win Chicago Bulls. It was going to be the Patriots, and Eli beat that team. I'm sorry. Not as a three-point underdog who really should have been favored, not because the line was all banged up, because he came up with clutch play after clutch play. I'll save 2011, which was also better, by the way, Alex Smith in San Francisco for a 13-win team. Aaron Rodgers with a 15-win team at Green Bay, and then Tom Brady again in the Super Bowl. Those are the two greatest postseason runs ever. And then comes Tom Brady this year.
Molly, tell me what you want me to say. What?
I just want you to give me your visceral reaction to what you just heard.
I just
speak your mind. Speak from the heart.
Max, I'm praying that you're not doing this just because I'm on this show.
You better speak from the heart.
I'm praying that this is not just to get me worked up, because I know sometimes you know how to push my buttons, and but I'm gonna fall for it, because you are out of your damn mind. You have lost it. Max Kellerman, you have lost your mind. On this topic right here, you've lost your mind. And I know Stephen A. gone, but how in the world, bro, can you sit on TV and say what you just said? This man is 43 years old. He's 43 years old. 43. Max. Calm down, Marcus. A 43-year-old quarterback just led a team to a Super Bowl. A 43-year-old quarterback that left a team during a global pandemic with no offseason just led a team to the Super Bowl. A quarterback that you said sucked, that was done, just led a team that hadn't been to the playoffs in 11 years. Fell off a cliff. 11 years, no Super Bowl, no playoff, to the Super Bowl, and won and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The GOAT, Patrick Mahomes, that you said was the best you had ever seen with your own two eyes. He went to Lambeau. Again, no offseason, 43, global pandemic, and beat Aaron Rodgers. Max, you said nobody wants to go to Lambeau, and nobody's going to beat Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. That is why the Green Bay Packers are going to the Super Bowl. That was Max Kellerman. All right, cool. You say Drew Brees, name on the jersey. Might I add that the New Orleans Saints beat them 38-3 in the meeting they had during the regular season? So obviously, they made strides before the playoffs in order to win the game. Max, this is the most impressive Super Bowl win in the history of the NFL, bro. Some circumstances Tom Brady has no control over, but he played in a time where those circumstances were the problem, all right? So if I told you, if I said, let's forget about names, let's forget about everything you just said. If I said, Max, don't use your whole Columbia try to switch things around on this situation. This is clear and plain. You know me. I'm a straight to the point, black and white type guy. All right, if I told you a 43-year-old quarterback was going to go to the Super Bowl with a new team that didn't have an offseason, that played a season in a global pandemic, that lost games in November, that everybody counted them out, went on to win the Super Bowl, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, who you deemed was about to be a dynasty, and you would tell me that that's not the best Super Bowl run?
No. No, there are many things to talk about here. Number one, what we've seen in the pandemic, everyone was playing in a global pandemic. What we saw was experience made a big difference. Like, the teams who had been there made a big difference. The Dodgers had a lot of postseason experience. They won the World Series. The obviously LeBron James, a lot of postseason experience, won the championship. Same thing with Brady. Going into the season, many people picked the Bucs to get to the Super Bowl. It's not like no one did that. So the perception was they were a very good team, and Tom Brady was still perceived as an effective quarterback, whether or not elite. But he showed this year, as I had to admit, he was elite by the end of the year, threw 40 touchdowns, not a lot of interceptions. So they go into the playoffs in a global pandemic. That's true. But everyone was in that situation. Everyone was. They beat a 7-9 team on the road, but with a good defense. Okay, that's fine. They beat a Drew Brees team that was clear. Look, they beat them, and that counts. And Brees had a chance to win that game, and he didn't. But Brees is clearly done. That's why we're talking retirement. He was fine. He was an NFL quarterback, but he was no longer the great Drew Brees. Then he goes to Lambeau and beats Rodgers, who won the MVP, who's 37. And then he goes as a slight underdog against a Kansas City Chiefs team without an offensive line. At home, he beats them. Eli, on the other hand, for a 9-7 team that never looked elite that year, as I said, I'm just taking 07, but this applies to 11 too. Beat a better team with a better quarterback and a better record in the first round on the road. Beat a better team with at least a better quarterback with as good a record on the road. Beat Aaron Rodgers when he was in his prime the second time, Brett Favre the first time. Brett Favre won 13 games. Rodgers won 15, both at Lambeau, and then beat Tom Brady both times in the Super Bowl. The first time, Marcus, in 07, that was the greatest team of all time. And the GOAT, Tom Brady, had his greatest season. What?
Wait a second. Molly. I don't have return, so I can't see you. Molly, let me ask you a question, Molly. Please. Who won NFL MVP this year?
Tom Brady, as I predicted.
Yeah, Rodgers.
And won the Super Bowl, as I predicted.
I'm talking about the season. I'm talking about the season, Molly. Who was the NFL MVP?
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Who did Tom Brady beat on his way to the Super Bowl?
Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers was 15-1 when Eli beat him.
And then Patrick Mahomes.
He was 15-1
this year. And league MVP.
Okay, so you want to call it comparable? So let's match it up. You want to call Rodgers at 15-1, Rodgers at 37 who won the MVP a comparable win? Fine. At Lambeau, fine. That actually is comparable. I give the edge to Eli, who beat a younger version with a better record. But let's call it a wash. Romo at 13 wins back then was a better version and a harder win, I think, than the Saints this year. Obviously a winning team with a name brand quarterback, better than a Washington win this year. And then the difference is the Super Bowl. Yes, you beat a Chiefs team with no offensive line and you were at home. You were the first, team to host a home game. Eli went on the road to beat your Tom Brady. Brady's greatest season.
Max, who you pick in the Super Bowl?
That year. He had Randy Moss.
Who you
pick? Undefeated.
Who you pick to win the Super Bowl?
And he threw 50 touchdowns. That was the greatest offensive of all time.
Who you pick to win the Super Bowl?
And Eli outplayed him and beat him and won Super Bowl MVP.
Who did you pick?
The Chiefs.
Who did you pick to win the Super Bowl? Oh, he picked the Chiefs. But now the Chiefs don't have an offensive line.
But I thought they should be underdogs. I thought Mahomes would have to come back. Have to come from behind.
Molly, please help Molly.
I can't control who gets hurt on the offensive line heading into the Super Bowl.
Listen, this show is not about my opinion. I will say, full disclosure, I'm a Giants fan, but yeah, I'm not with you here on this one, Max. Strong case, but you can finish this up, Max.
The 85 Bears were the greatest team of all time. Until that Patriots team came around in 07. Everyone was about to call them not only the greatest team in football history, the greatest team in history, period. Tom Brady, the GOAT, was at his absolute best. He had the best team around him. They were huge favorites, and Eli won MVP by beating him. They didn't come in all banged up like the Chiefs. They came in crushing everybody.
You done, Marcus? Lost for words? Yeah. Okay.
Molly.
I'll let you breathe for a little if you need to. We can go to commercial. Tell me what you need right now.
Molly, let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
A quarterback in the NFL just won a Super Bowl at 43 years old.
Yeah.
And we gonna sit on this show
and
say that that's not
cliff.
The most impressive Super Bowl. Come on, man. Yeah. I can't do this with Max. I don't have it.
I agree. What you're saying makes it the third most impressive Super Bowl run ever, behind both by Eli, who beat Tom Brady in his prime.
But
I will say this. Heading into the season, the Bucs were among the favorites because they were loaded everywhere.
I don't give a damn.
And you all thought Brady was going to be great.
It don't make
unexpected, according to you.
Let's all take a moment. Let's take a pause. Let's marinate on this.
Please,
let's do a little commercial break. We'll regroup.
I need
it. We'll come back, and we'll transition. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. In celebration of Black History Month, First Take is bringing you on an HBCU tour. Each Wednesday in February, we'll check in with a different school. And this Wednesday, as in tomorrow, we'll catch up with Howard University in Washington, D.C. So tune in all month right here on First Take as we recognize Black History Month. Houston, we have a problem. Despite considerable interest in their star quarterback, the Texans are telling teams they will not trade Deshaun Watson. holding on to hope that they can work things out with the man who led the league in passing last season. Max, you're up first here. Tell me this. Do you have a problem with the way the Texans are handling this Deshaun situation?
Nope. As Big L said, a bull scare is a strong bluff, right? Like, that's all this is going on, a bull scare. This is it. You know, the Texans have no choice. When they have to front like they're not going to trade him or he decreases in value, I don't even blame them for what they're doing. What the Texans see is, hold on, Matt Stafford is what, two firsts and a player and something else for Matt Stafford? Wasn't that the deal? They're thinking, okay, Deshaun Watson, the bidding starts at three firsts or a Pro Bowl caliber player, two firsts and something. But the league may not be coming to the table with that stuff. Look at that. Jared Goff. Now, Jared Goff had a bad contract. It was smaller than Watson's, but he's considered not worthy of it at this point. Two firsts and a third, guys, to get Matthew Stafford back has a better deal, but still. And Matthew Stafford's a very good quarterback, but he hasn't been a great quarterback. Two firsts and a third. The Texans are saying, let's start the bidding at three firsts. That's not the ceiling. That's the floor. And I'm guessing that they're not getting the kind of offers that they want because the entire league knows this is a distressed asset, like with Harden in Houston, right? They have to act as though they want to keep him. First of all, they really may want to keep him. As poisoned as the well may be, they may be thinking, look, let's see, it's a new regime. Let's see if we can patch things up because he's a great player and that's who you're looking for. But in the event that they really can't, they have to make it seem like they don't want to move him or they will not be getting the best offers for teams. I can't blame them for doing it.
I agree. I understand what you're saying about pushing the value up. The only thing that I don't like, Max, is the newness of this situation and people speaking on that situation with Caserio and obviously the new head coach. And this issue, and I've been screaming at the people that this issue is about Deshaun Watson and Cal McNair and ownership. So as much as the antics are going on with the Houston Texans, whether we want to let Deshaun Watson go or we want to keep him and we know the transgressions and fixing these things, ownership ain't changing, man. And that's the part that I keep trying to scream to everybody. Like, we could talk about all of these little nuanced things. Deshaun Watson has a fundamental problem with the owner of the Houston Texans and how things have transpired. You could have said Bill O'Brien because we saw Bill O'Brien trade away DeAndre Hopkins and we saw them actually play some good football, but also not get over the hump with Bill O'Brien. Could have been angry about that, and we could have deflected to that particular situation. But you removed Bill O'Brien, and you brought in new everything. And now you have these new guys speaking on Deshaun Watson, and we're not interested in trading him and all of that. You're right. They're not interested in trading him. Nobody should be interested in trading a future generational type talent at the quarterback spot. But the fundamental problem is between two structures that are not changing. The ownership of the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. So how they're handling it, to me, I have a problem because it's not Cal McNair saying we want to keep Deshaun Watson. It's not Cal McNair out front saying I do not want Deshaun Watson to leave and what we need to do. What do we need to do in order to keep him on this team? Everybody else under him is speaking about this situation. And I get it. Protocols, and they in that position to speak. Max, damn all of that. We all know. You know, I know, Molly knows, everybody knows that the problem, where the problem lies. And until that, Cal McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, comes out and says this publicly, it's irreparable. I think it's irreparable anyway, but all of this talking from people within the Texans organization about what they want to do and don't want to do and the value for Deshaun Watson is moot. It's a moot point because Deshaun Watson's fundamental problem, again, is not with them.
Well, look, I think we could spin it forward and ask this question legitimately. Does it come to an impasse where Deshaun Watson misses a season in the middle of his prime? Because if this is not his prime, good Lord, because he's already, you say a future great quarterback, you're right, he should have a long future if he avoids injury, knock wood, but a present great generational quarterback. Deshaun has elevated his level, I think, to that Mahomes and Rodgers, and you have to include Brady still now, like that elite, elite level this year. We have to ask this question, spinning it forward. The one thing I really haven't gotten into with Deshaun, because he's a quarterback and he has such value, especially with this, you know, what Stafford got, you know, what was in the Goff trade. You'd think they wouldn't pass that up, a chance to rebuild. You think about Herschel Walker trade, how that built the Cowboys. But the one thing I haven't really gotten into, Le'Veon Bell sat out a whole season. And Pittsburgh could have gotten compensation for him, I think, if they wanted to, if they would have moved him. But it seemed to me more important to the team and the league that they send players a message. You're not in control.
Yep.
We
yep.
are. And I wonder if it comes to that, particularly given the kind of flashpoint of this fractured relationship in terms of Deshaun and, let's say, Cal McNair, where it is, where considering the kind of social political divide here, that management, that ownership wants to send a message to labor. And by the way, it is white ownership and black labor. There's no way of getting around that. You are not in charge. Stay in your lane. We yeah. will bite, cut off our nose to spite our face in this case because it has long-term benefits to the power structure, keeping everybody in check in their place. And if it gets to that point, is Deshaun willing to sit out a season? That's going to be very interesting to see, and hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Max, I think you, bro, genius, all right? That is where we are. We are at the precipice of player empowerment. And that is what that is what ownership is going to fight against, right? Even beyond that, like Carson Wentz requesting a trade in Philly and looking like that's going to transpire. They're starting to see this NBA type mentality creep in. But players are also starting to see, where is this organization going? Do they have me in a good situation to play? And look, we're talking about this because we're talking about Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think Deshaun Watson can become a face for what this is when this happens, because it's irreparable. I'm telling you, he is not going to be a Houston Texan. He would sit out in order not to play for them, I believe.
Yeah, I know there's many layers to this, guys, and it's probably deeper than this, but one other element that can't help is he didn't have any protection. He's one of three quarterbacks that was hit 500 times. And we talked about that. I know it got a little bit better the last couple years, but he was just getting dogged out there. And you talk about his longevity and his career. So you can't be excited about that either with the Houston Texans organization.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Super Bowl 55, yeah, didn't go as expected for Patrick Mahomes. No touchdowns, two picks, and a blowout loss to Tom Brady. But Mahomes is staying positive. Take a listen.
It'll definitely motivate you. I mean, when you're a competitor and you get so close to your ultimate goal and then you fall short, I mean, it's something that will motivate you for the rest of your career. I mean, it was a it was a bad feeling in that locker room after the game. And you don't want to have that feeling again.
All right. Patrick Mahomes has handled defeat with grace. No surprise there. But Max, at the end of the day, Tom Brady, 10 Super Bowl trips. He's won 7 rings. And obviously beating Mahomes in convincing fashion when Brady's 43 and no longer in his prime. So is there any way Mahomes can get back into that GOAT conversation?
The odds are long, but it is possible. They're long, but it's possible because this is how hard it is. When LeBron choked in that first shot against in Miami against Dallas, it looked like the Jordan ship had sailed. But he, you know, clawed and scratched his way back into it, climbed up, and he's back in the debate. Even if I think he doesn't win it, he's back in it. A generation of basketball fans will swear it's him. But with Mahomes, it's as though LeBron lost to Dallas and Jordan, as an old man, was playing on Dallas, you know? It's really, really hard to do because you lost head-to-head. But I'll say this much. I thought Mahomes was spectacular. In fact, honestly, I thought he was the best quarterback on the field in spite of the numbers. He did miraculous things. Tom Brady was pressured less than any time in his Super Bowl career. 4 times on dropbacks, on 30 dropbacks. 4 pressures. Mahomes was pressured on 29 of 56, more than 50%. But what gets worse is they blitzed under 10% of the time, which may be also a record for the Super Bowl. So what that means is you're always running for your life, and because they never have to send an extra guy, no one's ever open. And yet Mahomes, think about this for a second, hit 2 receivers in the face in the end zone. In the face, and he did it on the run the second time. One of the most spectacular plays I've ever seen. He was parallel with the ground. How did he get away from Shaq Barrett, let alone get that pass off? And he also hit another receiver in the hands in the end zone. Forget about the Travis Kelce 3rd down for 16 yards and a 1st down, right? Never mind that. There are 3 touchdown passes that he threw under. Like, how many quarterbacks in the history of football could even get those passes off, let alone put them where he put them? So I think as time goes on, people will review the spectacular nature of the way Mahomes played in this game. But beyond that, Marcus, this is how he could do it. He can win a handful of Super Bowls. He's probably not going to get to 7 or 8. Who knows if Brady's done, right? He can win a handful of Super Bowls. He can shatter records, like maybe throw 60 touchdowns in a season. That's not out of the possibility for Patrick Mahomes. And he could beat Brady in a rematch, which is also not out of the realm of possibility. It's a lot of ifs that have to add up. I think it's unlikely, but it's possible because his peak is the highest I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, look, we disagree, but we don't have to get into a spat about it. It's simple for me. Like, it really boils down to the example you made in basketball. If LeBron and Jordan met in the finals and Jordan beat LeBron as an older player, LeBron wouldn't be in the GOAT conversation. Now, we would talk about him being the most talented and one of the best to ever do it. But when we got this matchup head-to-head, I firmly believe that Patrick Mahomes needed to win this game in order to be in the GOAT conversation legitimately when we start talking about the longevity of a career. There's a lot of things Patrick Mahomes is still going to do. He's going to win some more Super Bowls, but we're all going to remember that Tom Brady was 43 when they met in the Super Bowl and he beat him. We also going to remember in 2018 when Tom Brady beat him in the AFC Championship. So Patrick Mahomes needed this game in order for this conversation to go further. Patrick Mahomes may break every Tom Brady record when it comes to passing yards and all of those things, which probably will happen with how the league is now and what they do offensively in Kansas City. But when we start talking about the GOAT, we don't need to have a conversation about Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Tom Brady is in a league of his own when it comes to GOAT. And for me, quite frankly, in professional team sports, This has become way bigger than Patrick Mahomes. That's why I go back to the first argument we had about Tom Brady being the most impressive Super Bowl run. We don't do these things at 43 years old. This doesn't happen. If I told you years ago a 43-year-old quarterback that changed teams in the middle of a global pandemic was going to go on and win a Super Bowl against teams and quarterbacks that have been together, that know who they are identity-wise and have a plan, then you would have told me I was crazy and I shouldn't be on television. period. So, look, the GOAT conversation is over. For everybody that wants to talk about this in the NFL and compare things, look, we know Aaron Rodgers is more talented than Tom Brady and has done better things from an optic standpoint playing the position than Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes has taken that to another level. The bottom line is when we start talking about GOAT, also LeBron does some things athletically that Jordan couldn't do. But the reason why people talk about Jordan being the GOAT is because of the insurmountable accomplishments, period. Like that, me, I do, Max, I do. You know who, you Jordan know how I feel about LeBron.
But Jordan let's not had a 48-inch vert.
Let's not go there. Hold on, Max. But, yeah. This ain't about LeBron 6'8", all of that God-given stuff. Anyway, Tom Brady beating Patrick Mahomes head-to-head, I believe, not Patrick Mahomes out of the GOAT conversation. If we didn't have
totally
this matchup,
reasonable position,
and we had to speculate, then we could move. All right.
That's a totally reasonable position to have, and it's probably right. What I'm saying is the door isn't closed, and the reason I'm saying this is, look, that game was so clearly a line of scrimmage game. One guy was running for his life. The other guy had all the time in the
Max,
world.
Max, we're not going to talk about
teams,
history like
you,
that. We're not going to talk about that, though. We're not going to history will not talk about that, Max. Max, don't do it,
bro. Well, it depends.
Don't
what,
do
hold
it.
On, Marcus.
We know history won't bring that up.
It depends what happens going forward. It depends what happens going forward. If, for example, they link up again next season – And this time, no one has a decimated offensive line and Mahomes wins. What that will demonstrate to a lot of people is, well, yeah, because on a level playing field, Mahomes' team won. It depends on what happens going forward. If Mahomes never wins another Super Bowl or wins one more, he ain't going to be in the conversation if that happens. But if he gets him in a rematch and Mahomes winds up with 5 championships. By the way, the odds are against Mahomes winning 5 championships. It's hard to win even one. That's why Brady's the GOAT, right? But if Mahomes is able to do that and shatters every record, he'll be back in the conversation.
We disagree, bro. Like, when you get a chance, when you get a chance, when you get a chance to be the future GOAT, when you get a chance to be the future GOAT, and that's the conversation we have,
no chance.
But you actually play the GOAT and you lose, you are removed from that conversation.
But there was no chance, Marcus. Marcus, looking back real quick, just be honest. Was there a chance that any quarterback could lead that Chiefs team over that Bucks team on Sunday?
Max,
ever? Was there really a chance?
After we watched the game, no. But that you thought it was a chance before the game. We can sit here and talk hindsight all day long.
I thought they should have been underdogs.
The bottom line is this. When we talk about history, when history comes, we will not say Patrick Mahomes' offensive line was bad. We will say Tom Brady beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl when he was 43. Well, That's what we will say.
Brady's had bad offensive line.
LeBron James took the Cavs to the finals with no one on them. LeBron James missed Kyrie and Kevin Love against the Warriors the first time and lost. And, in fact, I point to that all the time. Like, of course he would have beaten them if he had
I'll leave
crew.
You with this. Here's one feather in Patrick Mahomes' cap right now that he has. He's the youngest quarterback ever to start in multiple Super Bowls. So that's one thing Brady can't take away from him. Marcus, very fun having you on, as always. I will miss you the rest of the show.
Swagoo.
You have fun on NFL Live later. Kendrick Perkins is coming up next.